Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Going live.
I think we're live right now. Are we live right
now? Not yet.
That's what Oskay said.
Okay, let's go. Are we, is this thing up and running now? Okay, I got a thumbs up. Hey, everybody. We have...
Tom, was it Tom? Am I saying that right? Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
We have the Core 4 here from the Bob and Tom Show. We're all in the same room, but we are, of course, the required distance apart.
Yes. Both physically and mentally.
Yeah. Well, I think that goes without saying. Some of us are certainly looking down at
certainly.
Others.
Certainly. Certainly. Yes, we've gotten through all these years.
That's Christy Lee. Ordinarily, that's where Ace sits.
Yes.
And I
thank you for allowing me back in the room.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Christy Lee joke of the day. Never mind. I got all excited.
Ace has been keeping his space the cleanest for the last 3 years. You guys aren't here. When he first walks in the morning at whatever, 4:45, he will Lysol the whole area. So that's a clean seat.
Yeah, I clean everything when I leave and when I come to the station.
Sure, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll get to washcloth talk later. But, Chick's in his normal spot, and I'm in my regular spot, and Josh is over there. And then we do have the Jesses. Right now I can see in the big screen over there, I see Jess Hooker.
Hi, Jess.
Hello.
Nice
Hi,
lipstick.
Guys.
Now, you think it's dark and you can't, you think I can't see you've got the bun in your hair. Is that correct?
with
this lighting, your lovely face shines.
Okay,
you can't see the bun.
Boy, he just zeroed in on the bun,
did.
Didn't he?
Good bun. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
And then there's the other Jessica Altman, and you've moved the camera from the other day. You're looking good. And you guys are both in your various homes?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right, done.
How do they switch back and forth between the
Jesses? How are you guys toggling like that?
So it's actually the audio. So when we talk, we take over the screen. So when Jessica talks...
I interrupt her and I take over. Here I am.
Oh, all right, cool.
Wow.
That's fascinating.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. Remember that morning we said, you know, if you can think of it to have it be done on a computer, they're probably doing it.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
At the risk of sounding like the old guy. Boy, that technology.
I tell you, I love this Naked app. That is
that's not a pleasant face. I don't blame you, Jessica.
It only works for boys. How about that? Did that save the...
Well, I guess.
That doesn't sound...
As long as you're sitting down.
Any better at all.
Okay. You know how when you're... You'll go in your closet and you grab it. You haven't worn a coat and tie for 6 months and you grab it to go to an event. And
you find something in the pocket?
You find $20 in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I just
awesome.
Had the exact same thing happen, but in the context of the quarantine.
How so?
I will open the back of my car.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. And I found a giant thing of Clorox disinfectant wipes.
Wow.
You are lucky.
Nice.
I am so happy.
Lucky boy.
Yeah.
I'm running low at my house.
I'm going to say there are at least 60 wipes in there.
There's a thing in the internet you can make your own at home.
Mm-hmm. Out of old t-shirts or something?
There's a certain percentage of Clorox bleach and water, and I'm not going to quote the recipe, but just in case.
At the risk of freaking you out, I looked today because I was thinking of when we were on the air to myself, I don't think I have any bleach at the house. And by gosh, I don't.
There is a gigantic thing of it underneath the sink in the green room.
I'm okay.
Get a mason jar and fill it up with moonshine.
Yes. make him happy. I took some bleach home, I'll say.
Yeah,
I'll say.
Just
exactly.
Make sure that you mark it thusly and don't confuse it with your moonshine.
With vodka or something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how that would ever happen.
We spoke with Roy Wood Jr. this morning. He's in New York City, which is the...
York City!
It's a hot spot.
One of the most difficult places to be. And he hasn't left his house at all, his apartment. But he did have a nice array of booze behind him.
Yeah.
So we're going to open it up and take some questions, see what's going on, see what's on your mind, see what you're watching to get by. I have watched very little television, but this weekend I plan to try to get through Tiger King.
Okay, yeah.
It's fascinating.
I think everyone's seen it but you.
Yeah, I think so.
You seen the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And my kids watched it yesterday.
And I think the Jesses have seen it, yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it's fascinating.
And Alzi did a podcast about it, remember?
Yeah, right, yeah.
The one guy says he can feed a tiger for $3,000 a year. Mm-hmm. The other says $10,000.
Well, when you see how they're feeding them later on, you'll understand that.
Well, when you feed them ex-husbands and ex-wives, yeah, which is, well, come to think of it, isn't a bad idea.
The legality of that may be in a gray area.
Well, murder, oh. Murder.
Well, we'll find out about that. And now, are you watching anything right now, Chick?
I'm actually watching There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. And
oh, revisiting that, huh?
And two Paul Danos, actually. It's a Paul Michael, Paul Thomas Anderson. Right. I always get Paul Thomas Anderson and Paul Michael Tom
Glaser from Paul Starsky Michael and Glaser. Hutch.
And then there's Philip Michael Thomas. We're supposed to be taking questions.
You know, also, okay. Philip Sousa.
Yeah. I'm watching a great show.
And Lee Harvey Oswald. Famous three-named people.
What are you watching?
Well, I'm sure you guys.
Christy Rosalie, what are you watching?
I am watching the Madam C.J. Walker story on Netflix, it is really good.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is very well done.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. She invented hair products.
She invented hair products for.
I watched the Madam J.J. Walker story about
when
he and RuPaul.
Right, yeah. It wasn't very good, but
explosive finale there.
Okay, yeah. So now Octavia Spencer is amazing.
The Jessicas are reviewing. Can you explain where we are? We're on YouTube, Twitter, the Bob and Tom app. If you have the Bob and Tom app, just click on the banner at the top. Is that what works?
I don't know that we need to explain where we are because the only people aware of this are on those platforms right now. So it's not like we can tell somebody who's not on one of those platforms to go.
Well, we could have Mr. Spangle text them or something.
Mr. Spangle, would you please text the individual listeners?
One by one. We have their numbers.
This might sound unreasonable, but hello?
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 Okay. We'll start taking questions the girls are going to
review. Do we have questions?
Them.
Yeah, we have lots of questions.
Now, Jess Hooker, what have you got?
The first question is for Josh. It's from Scott Barry. How long do you think it took you to get a feel for the show and a pace and a style when you started?
You think that I have a feel for the show?
That's what a nice compliment.
Yeah, that is a nice compliment.
This is your brother's nom de plume.
Yes, the implication being Joey Wednesday.
Yes.
That's actually a really good question.
It is, and it's something that it's one of my favorite aspects of the job is I'm still learning every day by not only by watching my coworkers but by making so many mistakes myself. I tend to learn most from my mistakes, and so I'm still learning.
You may want to listen to yesterday's show.
See,
hour eight to nine. That's all.
You know,
I'm
the messages and the lessons you learn are tough.
They are because the hours that I think I had a really good the ones he thinks I
he'll come in and he'll go you might want to pay more attention
right. I think what really helped me was being a fan for years since the mid 90s and listening and knowing sort of who I was in the room with well before I got in this room. So
yeah, Josh is a natural, does an amazing job, did so from day one.
Yep,
thank you so much.
We're very lucky.
Now, his skills have deteriorated, clearly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was all instinct before. Now that I'm trying to apply things I've learned.
Working too hard.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding. Sorry.
Tom's like to tear him down and then tear him down again.
Now, do we have a question from the other Jessica?
Yeah, this one is for Tom. If you want to pull the curtain back a little bit, but there are folks that want to know who the voice of Doug LaDouche is.
Okay.
It's obviously the voice of Doug LaDouche. I'll tell you what happens. He's often confused
with
a famous car dealer Ed Pinkley.
Ed Pinkley, yeah.
Now, you may recall the famous famous
Motors.
Ford dealer, and he specialized. Well, I'll let Christy help me. Remember 30 years ago, there was a particular young fellow on television, and he advertised a special model of a car that was just available from his dealership. Remember that? And yeah, he alone had done a special design on one of their cars. Remember this really young guy?
No, I don't remember that.
Well, this is the same thing. Ed Pinkley did a special deal with Ford Motor Company, and he of course had the Pinkley Taurus.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And the Pinkley Taurus, and then.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that Ed Pinkley sounds an awful lot like Doug LaDouche.
Oh, Doug LaDouche. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not going to tell him who it is?
No.
Okay. I will not.
Tell you,
I will not either.
It's Doug LaDouche. I will say that Mr. LaDouche is going to be running
for president.
Yes, he will be running again. In fact, he's actually getting more television time than Bernie or what's that other guy's name?
Joe Biden.
Yeah. Yes, I forgot. Yeah, he hasn't been in the news cycle for 2 weeks.
Right.
I will say this: Doug LaDouche is an excellent home builder.
Okay.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah.
There you go.
And he has to. drive his car in the full forward position on the seat,
to say the least.
Okay.
For, and so, he has a reaching stick.
So his little feet.
If you're,
so feet,
if you're wondering where those phone books go that you throw away,
exactly
he has two of them on his chair. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. Now, do we have the Jessica question for us?
Yes, I have another question. This one's for all of you. It's from Twitter. What was your least favorite job before you worked on the Bob and Tom show?
I was just talking about my least favorite
job.
Oh,
what was it?
The well, I really can't say, even on this broadcast. Oh. I was employed by a former corporation that where they would buy and sell houses within 2 or 3 years, and I was in charge of flipping the houses and staging them. And
oh,
wow,
what?
Okay, gotcha.
No sooner than we'd buy a house, we'd have to sell it again, and then
gotcha. that wasn't really a job.
Not so much an employer.
Yeah.
I
didn't start out as an employee.
Right, no. Right.
I worked my way down the ladder.
That's a great question, Josh. You've had a number of jobs. You were a school teacher in South Korea. You worked for Rawlings.
Yes, my least favorite was for a pharmacy benefit management company. I was in a cubicle writing copy, and I hated it because I wasn't good at it, and I just did not care for the environment. It was awful. I hated it. Mostly because I wasn't good at it.
Christy, you've had so many interesting jobs. You worked at Arby's. You were a engineer at a television station.
Yes, and I also worked in a hospital for many years in the emergency room as a ward secretary, but my least favorite job was I worked at a temp agency in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I had to work in a bank in the trust department. So all I did was file all day long. And it was horrible. There's no music there. Oh. Nobody talks there. It was brutal. That was my worst job.
Should I answer seriously? I worked at a foundry. I worked for Elevators. Otis Elevator Company.
Go knock on Otis Elevators. That's my brand.
No, brand name. But
I'm brand loyal. If I see a building and it's not an Otis, I take the stairs.
And I was a wheelabrator operator, and I would lift castings hot out of this, out of the being made, and you put them on this Lazy Susan, gigantic Lazy Susan. You shut the doors.
How long did you last?
2 months, and I broke my toe.
Man.
And I collected workman's compensation.
For 7 years.
For 7 years. Matter of fact, the payments just stopped.
Yeah. So essentially a win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Tom?
Oh, God, I can't think of a job I had that
weren't
I hated.
Weren't you a bellman at some
loved that
He
job.
Liked it, though, yeah.
He loved it.
When I was, I had paper routes until I was a junior in high school. Then I worked at a car dealer washing cars, which I actually loved. And then, let's see, what else did
I
do?
Worked at a car dealer washing cars?
Yeah, Dowd Oldsmobile.
So could you wash my car right now?
But we used to have the chamois, and we had the, I don't know if they make them anymore. Oh, God, the rollers, you'd crank the...
Oh, in the bucket? You put it over your bucket?
Yeah, you put the chamois in and crank it, and the chamois would come out moist, and you'd go... So the car wouldn't have drip marks on it.
Oh, really?
Nice.
I loved doing that, and then I was... let's see.
Your house painted, we know that.
I painted a lot of houses.
You were in the restaurant business.
Yeah, I was a cook. I really enjoyed that, too. And then I got into radio. I've never had a job I hated.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you.
Well, isn't that wonderful?
Well, I don't know. I really can't think. There were parts of jobs I didn't care. When I was helping build houses.
What part of this job don't you care for?
Us?
Touching anything. I was building houses up in northern Michigan, and sometimes you would, I don't know if they still do the same process, but you would you'd dig the hole, and they'd put the foundation in and block. Then you'd have to put this hot tar on it.
Yeah.
And it was really hard to do when it just destroyed. Your shoes, your clothes.
Oh, I bet.
It was in back-breaking work. And then lifting a roofing material to a roof on a ladder.
Oh, scary.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. But
yeah.
I bailed hay. I quit that after the first morning and hitchhiked home and got picked up by a hairdresser, a male hairdresser.
Does this end with sodomy of some sort?
No, it does not end with
sodomy. Much better story. Could you augment that?
Future versions, it will happen.
Okay, good. Yes. Right. So once again, we're taking questions. And who's Jessica's turn? Which is the Jessica?
This one.
Osmond will go. So this is for Tom, but really kind of all of you. But Tom, are you going to cut your own hair? Will you let someone at home cut your hair? Otherwise, how long are you going to let it go?
Right now at my home, I have a 4-year-old, a 7-year-old, and Kelly. And Kelly says she doesn't know how to cut hair. I can't cut it myself.
You're going to have to let it grow,
I think you should let the 7-year-old cut it.
I think 4.
No, I think 7.
Safety scissors.
7. Oh, okay.
I think, do you have a pair of clippers, like beard trimmers, like some, so you put guides on it, you know?
I swear to God, I have dog clippers, but that's it.
Well, you've got to use them.
Well, that doesn't sound, don't take this the right way. But I don't think you can mess it up. I really don't. I mean, just run the clippers over your, because I shave my neck by myself. Okay.
I'm going to let mine go because it's the perfect excuse to let it go.
Yeah.
I just want to see how crazy it gets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're close to having the potential Larry Fine.
Yeah.
The potential Bozo.
Right. The longer it gets, it gets more wiry and it gets real nuts. And
did you ever see a picture of Larry, Larry Fine at a formal event and he'd have it slicked back?
Yes, but it's kind of wavy in the back. Yeah,
I've never seen him at a formal event.
Yeah. There's pictures of Larry Fine, and it's weird. But
so we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting look. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I may as well. So.
Yeah, I just don't want to be. I don't want to be ponytail guy.
Christy's the one who has to have her hair cut professionally.
I think I'm going to try my bangs this weekend.
Well, now you've.
I know
I've cut them before.
I know. Our friend Christine has said she will walk me through it if I put her on the phone and next to the mirror.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nothing could go wrong.
I bet you'll never.
Now, are we going to Jessica Hooker for another question?
Yep, this is me. I am going to ask this question because I get this question so often. This is from Casey Funky. Oh. And I don't know if that's a boy, Casey, or a girl, Casey, but do chickens really hate each other?
You know, that's the number one question I get when I go out.
Here's the rule.
We decided this a long time ago.
I forget why, we were going from Sarasota to Orlando in a car, a bunch of us. Mm-hmm. And there was a radio show on that had a pretty good reputation. And there were 4 guys and they all agreed. And they were having this really boring discussion about a boat. And I thought, would somebody say something contrary for God's sake? And so we kind of have a rule that.
Tom came up with it, actually. He came to me and said...
It's much funnier if we disagree about stuff. And we do disagree about most everything.
Genuinely.
Yeah, we honestly do.
It really isn't that tough to...
Right.
But you don't hate each other.
No, but there are times where they are upset with each other, and that's some of my favorite... Like when Tom is trying to say something and Chick is just running...
Anytime you're listening to the show and Tom says, will you just... Shut up. That's real.
I did say it to Josh this morning.
Yes, you did.
You did, yeah.
Welcome to the club,
Well, if
buddy.
You would shut up and listen for 15 seconds. I love that.
Well, sometimes we'll work. Maybe we're setting up a song from Pat, and then all of a sudden subject gets changed. And
somebody will say, wouldn't it be, do you think you could write with your feet? And,
you have to set it up again. Yeah. So yeah, there's a certain
And we get the look.
Oh, we do. Oh, yes, we all do get the look.
We get the look. Yeah. You have a look.
Well, there's a look, and there. I don't think Christy's ever. Well, maybe you have. What am I saying? You get the cut sign.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
I've gotten it. Yeah.
It looks like this.
I remember. I remember every time I've gotten it. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, and then you get that feeling in your gut, like, oh God.
Can I go home?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sell plasma.
We're going to the principal's office.
I'm going to have to move my house. I'm going to have to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
Now, which Jessica are we taking next?
Jessica Alsman.
Oh, hi, Jessica.
So I know you have an button that plays funny sound effects when somebody slips up, but what actually happens when something naughty is said?
The best I can explain it is when we're on the air... What you're hearing
is not happening.
It happened seven seconds prior to that.
Yeah.
Or it might be 11 seconds.
I don't know what the number is. And then if somebody slips or a guest says something, there is a button that is called the dump button.
Mm-hmm.
Really. In fact, I better move these papers. There have been occasions where I've stacked papers on top of it. And if you see the video, you see me fly across. Heave the papers.
Yeah, it's
and
right here.
I hit the button right here.
Now you have one, and Ace has one.
Uh huh.
And does Dean have one?
No.
Okay.
No. There's only 2.
And then that's why traditionally, for dozens of years, you've always heard them say when people call up, they'll say, "Turn off your radio when you get them on the air live."
Yeah, because of the delay.
Because the feed is several seconds late. And you pretty much have to have that, although there, even on television, where it's a little more complicated, every once in a while something will slip by.
Sure, but typically on news, because they don't have, they're not taped, obviously, and...
Yeah, but it's technically it's a digital delay, meaning it's it used to be a wasn't it didn't used to be a tape that was just running around.
I think so. Yeah. Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's
it'd
what's
be recorded
happening.
On one tape and played back on the other.
And one time, Bob and I hit the button simultaneously, and I don't know if this is an electronic anomaly, but it didn't work.
It's like they canceled each other out.
Yeah.
And I think I'm the one who said the S word that morning, and
I'm not sure
neither one of you got it. Yeah, but
there have been other moments, but. So that yeah, that's how that works. If that answers the question,
yeah.
Jessica,
right, Hooker.
Hooker, it's me. Okay, from Adam Schneider. What are the rules you have on the air for yourself and for guests? Not necessarily FCC type of rules, but
oh god,
rules that you guys have in place.
Well, don't wear sunglasses.
No cologne
is big.
Yeah, that's real big.
Yeah.
Josh is actually allergic to it. I've been telling people for 40 years I'm allergic to it because I can't stand it. So they get a thing before they come in saying, please don't wear cologne.
Right.
Don't be boring, I guess. I guess you can't.
Well, we can't really tell people that.
Yeah.
I've been making the contention for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years that podcasting has ruined guests. Because if on a podcast, if you ask someone how they are, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, if I ask a comedian how he is, I don't care. I want him to be funny.
Yeah, you want him to get to a joke. Right.
When you say, how are you? You're saying, tell me a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Maybe you should explain that to them before they come in.
Like when Carson would ask Dangerfield, how are you? Oh, I tell you, my wife. We go right into it.
Right.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a great show if he went, fine, Johnny, how are you?
I was sick, but I'm okay now.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a lot of fun talking politics because people take it so personally and seriously. It's not fun to lampoon that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an unwritten rule. It's just not very enjoyable.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
They can choose to dive in or not.
Sure. Yeah.
And I will say this. It's very important. I understand if a comedian is a great comedian on stage and not great on the radio. I get it. It's fine. Some comedians have an absolute word-for-word routine they do over and over and over. Others can ad-lib and move in and out and can navigate a conversational situation and stay very funny. And there are some that are hilarious on the radio that are not good live, which mm-hmm. is really, that's much more unusual.
Yeah.
But there are a couple, I won't name them, but that are very good on the radio that their live show lacks quite a bit. But usually it's the other way around.
Usually it's the other way around, yeah. There are people that don't have a good sense of humor that are stand-up comedians.
Yeah, because often they've either purchased an act or they've memorized it.
Yeah.
And then there's still, you know, the average comedian. My joke has always been, what do you call a group of three or more comedians? A bitter of comedians. There's a lot of...
Did you hear who got a show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of that. But there's some very good souls, though, that do this.
Oh, yes.
I got a written question. Do you mind if I take
that? Sure, go ahead.
Everyone, what is your best Tim Wilson story? The late, great Tim Wilson, good friend of this show.
Gosh.
I've got so many. I don't know which is the best, but Chick, do you want to take this first?
We were out on the road with the comedy tour, and I think Jess Hooker was running the tour at the time. It was me and Tim and Tommy Jonigan and Kostaki, and we're all in the lobby of a hotel in one of the Carolinas, and yes. Tommy Jonigan had not had a beer yet, but he was in the process of going through a breakup. He was engaged, and the lady had just broken off the engagement and was engaged to someone else getting ready to marry.
I mean, and we're talking months. Matter of weeks.
Yeah, very quick.
Like 6 to 8 weeks. So Tim is sitting there, not saying a thing. Tim's sitting there. And he looks at Tommy and he goes, well, hell, Tommy, she must have been banging that guy a couple years now. So that's when Jess talked Tommy Jonigan into beer for the very first time. So that's kind of a twofer story there.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Tim, as usual.
Plain speaking, Tim. And then, you know, he gave you that laugh. And you were like, yeah, you're probably right, Tim. You know,
very wise, Tim.
This was one of my unbelievable stories. We were in Madison, Wisconsin doing the tour. And we got snowed in. 16 inches of snow overnight or some crazy thing. And it was me, Tim Wilson, and Mike Armstrong, and I'm not kidding.
Former police officer.
We dug the car out of the parking lot because we wanted to get home no matter what. And I said, you get me to the interstate, I'll get your ass home. And Tim Wilson goes, you ain't going to drive. I go, yes, I will. And by God, he goes, I'm from the South. I don't know how to drive in this. I drove those guys home and had to listen to Tim Wilson for 6.5-7 hours and Mike Armstrong fighting about everything. But to this day, neither one drove. I drove the whole way back from Madison.
And this is true. One time, actually, Tim Wilson drove me back from, it was either Fort Wayne or Muncie, because I'd gotten food poisoning at a gig. Oh. And so Tim was driving my Suburban back. And all I remember was being in the back seat occasionally vomiting out the window. And Tim, put it this way, you could ask Tim a question and you didn't ever have to goat him on into moving forward. Going, if you ever asked him, especially if you asked him about his murder book.
Ted Bundy.
He was an authority on Ted Bundy. They had this pretty crazy theory that Ted Bundy actually escaped from jail, did a couple murders, then broke back into the jail. He could go on about that for hours and hours.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm trying to put my best Tim Wilson story. He would just show up at my house unannounced. One night I was asleep at like 5 in the afternoon, kind of taking a little nap, and I hear this, hello, hello. And it was Tim, and he, I realized that he was on his way to Green Bay, I think it was.
Probably, yeah.
And he, it became very clear that he had no money.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't believe in credit cards.
Yeah, but he didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much gas. And he at the time, he also had a Suburban. He had that white Suburban.
Oh, that's right.
And he had to get that up to a Green Bay. I'm pretty sure it was Green Bay or Milwaukee.
He liked to sleep at rest stops. Remember that?
And he never took luggage. Remember that?
Yeah.
He'd turn his show shirt
and driving shirt.
Yep.
And he'd put it in his guitar case. Yeah.
Yep.
On many occasions, he would wear shirts of mine. Mm. And then he would get on stage and go, well, this shirt doesn't fit. This is one of Tom's shirts. But,
God,
yeah, I remember. I don't remember this morning. So then I said, Tim, you can't. It was already, I don't know, we ate dinner. It was probably 7 o'clock. And you can't drive all night now. So I had him sleep in a spare room at my house. And then the next morning I gave him my credit card, my gas card. And I said, okay, here's this. And then he came in. He actually came in that morning.
We talked about it
for a while. But Tim would prefer driving to a gig no matter how far away it was.
Yeah.
In fact, even on the tour, when you guys would have a pretty far, what was the Texas story he drove?
I forget what city, but, you know, you always think, well, Texas, you know, how far could it be? Well, it's like 8 hours from one side of the state to the other.
One time he drove more than eight, and I remember
Ari with him.
His son, and all I remember was he got there just as the show, he did a Friday night show wherever it was.
He left when we got back to the hotel.
Drove and all day and night and got the there just night. In time for the
yep.
show.
Man, so, just in time.
He was a road dog and a half.
Yeah. Yep.
And he would sleep in, he would rather sleep in a rest stop than a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there you go. But lots and lots of other classes.
I only worked with him one time. I was very new to comedy, and I was emceeing at this club, and he was the headliner. And I didn't get to speak to him much because he would walk off stage and leave the building and go right to his hotel, and then he wouldn't come back until it was time for him to go on stage. So in between shows, I never saw him.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he typically did that or if that's... If it was just a
mad,
but yeah, no
time
weekend.
Or
he didn't want to be at that particular club or what?
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then he also very much wanted to be a music producer, and he produced an album of blues songs. Remember this? It was the Something Midnight. I have it somewhere. And he got all these great artists to sing on it, including Greg Allman.
I forget what that was.
And he had a great story about.
He loved the Bee Gees.
Levon Helm.
Really?
He hired Levon Helm to play on this thing. And I guess all the participants are deceased, so I guess I'm okay if I mention this.
I love this story.
He went to go meet Mr. Helm. I believe it was at a diner. Was it in Arkansas? Mm-hmm. And he paid Mr. Helm with a lunch bag full of cash.
Wow.
And then am I getting the story correct that he decided he wanted Levon to also sing? And Levon said something to the effect of, well, that's going to
No, Tim called Levon before they even met and said, let's say Tim offered him $1,000 for something. And Levon said, well, that sounds pretty good, Tim, but I think we can do better than that.
Yeah, at some point, the amount of money escalated.
Yes,
like, and there was something about a diner and a lunch bag and cash. I'm not sure.
Wow. And he loved telling that story about Levon. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then he was able to meet a lot of his idols, including the guys from Skynyrd, but
Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Yeah, and he was a big fan. And so am I. The Atlanta Rhythm Section, the great album that had So Into You, and and he would he knew all those guys. But what was the one? Oh, I know what I wanted to mention. He was a huge Eric Clapton fan, and when he was in high school, he tracked down, I guess it was Eric Clapton's either aunt.
I want to say grandmother.
It was some, and her name was actually Clap. There was some just change. Anyway, he wanted to write this paper, and he talked to her. He got all this information he tracked her down in England and did it all by phone when he was in high school. Yeah, he was quite an interesting guy.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
And then you took Pat Godwin to England to see Clapton. And Tim never let you forget it, as he said. Boy. And you took Pat Ass Godwin to England to see Clapton, and you didn't take me.
I didn't know he was right. I should have thought of that.
You should have thought.
Sorry, Tim, in retrospect. Okay, is it Jessica Hooker's turn for a question?
I don't know, is it?
I think it's Alsman.
Okay, Miss Alsman.
So, how much time do you guys devote to prepping for each show? Is it planned?
Okay.
Weeks or days out?
Well, you know, each show's like the Rose Parade. As soon as one ends, we start planning for the next one.
For me, it is literally zero. I do zero prep. I don't like to know anything we're going to talk about, so I just come in and sit down.
Yes, the less I know, the less I prepare, believe it or not, the better I am.
Yeah.
The more I can react, the better I am.
And
I
then
think.
I'd be in the middle because I get here a little earlier and go through all the news that Tom gives me.
But I think I do kind of an unconscious preparation. I'll see something or write it down
we
or send
read
an email.
Every day.
You all have your own. I mean, if I want to know something about, for example, movies or television, Chick is a savant. He gets every channel.
And
Josh, he knows how to do it.
Josh is right there
with
me.
Josh, of course, anything about pornography or erotica.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
He knows all about.
Yeah,
so I don't have to participate. but I get here very early. Do a lot of stuff.
And
then,
early?
Well, I'm usually here by about 25 of 4, typically. But I'll do a lot in the evening, and Godwin and I'll go back and forth with lyrics in the afternoon and stuff like that. So, but we're all kind of all thinking all the time. And I think one of the problems we have is we're all so plugged into the news.
Yeah.
We have to be careful not to assume that everyone knows what's already happened. But we only do so much sort of straight news anyway, but we have to be careful about assuming, oh, you already know this.
Yeah.
When a lot of people don't, because they have things to do besides the news constantly.
Right.
So that, I guess, answers that question.
Yeah.
All right. It's back to me, guys. This is from the text line. Who is your favorite guest that wasn't a comedian?
Oh.
That is a great
I know who
question.
Mine are.
Go ahead, Christy.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, I wish I had been here.
She was wonderful.
She was
wonderful.
She was terrific. I'd have to really think that through, though.
And of course, Peter Frampton.
I would say David Wolf.
Wolf's a great one.
The astronaut.
So interesting.
I can remember more or less word for word a couple things he said. He was on the Mirror, and he said, "You don't know what quiet is."
Oh, man.
You're on the Mirror and the power goes out.
Right.
he said,
yeah.
Do you remember? He said, "You could hear your blood running through your veins."
That'll drive you crazy.
They were 30 seconds from dying, basically.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's the quietest.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that they're about to die.
30 seconds without oxygen. They would have died.
I think mine have been David Arquette. He was surprisingly...
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Oh, he was really
entertaining. Yeah. I mean, he was entertaining, smart, fun. He was really friendly.
Yeah, and David Arquette, you could tell, enjoyed being here.
Yes.
That's part of the... I've always said the same thing about concerts. When you go to a concert, we were talking off the air about Tom Petty. I remember seeing Tom Petty, and he was having a... you could just tell he was having a great time. They were fooling around on stage. And when you see an artist that's having fun, it makes it so much better.
Sure.
And Clint Howard was also awesome to have in. He had so many great Hollywood stories. And
I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of them. I need to look at them.
Reggie Miller, probably.
Reggie was always great.
Yeah. And he always loved being here.
Peyton Manning was always great.
And Peyton was always very
funny. Bob Schneider likes being here. He doesn't get up early for much.
Many.
Another one that is, well, he's kind of funny, Paul Thorne.
Yeah.
Who has the song, Did You Ever Have One of Those Days? He's the guy that boxed.
Mm-hmm.
He was a boxer.
Yeah.
And he was in the ring with Nomas.
Roberto Duran.
Roberto Duran.
Man, oh man.
He said Duran knew what he was going to do before he knew it.
Yeah, but that's a really good question. I'm going to have to think about that.
There are so many great guests that have been here. Who surprised you the most?
Well, the couple on the phone. I remember when we talked to the guy from
Amadeus. F. Murray Abraham.
Yes, F. Murray Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with James Caan, the two great actors. And
I'm imposing.
I thought they'd both be really difficult and both hilarious. F. Murray Abraham was on. I don't know. He was on like a 20-7 one morning, and then the phone rings an hour later and he goes, hey, I got an opening. Can I talk to you guys again? I'm stunned.
How cool is that?
And you know who else was really nice that surprised me was Darth Vader's voice.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, really funny. And again, you think, you know, he's just going to go CNN, whatever.
Yeah.
He was.
Bruce Willis was really funny. Remember?
Yeah,
when
Bruce
he,
was very, well, yeah, he, I, but I expected him to be funny. He's
really, I thought he would be a little more stuffy.
I can see it going either way.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
He was very nice. Chick, anybody else come to mind that was not a comedian?
Sean Morey.
That's mean.
Boom, bang!
We opened today's show with a Sean Morey classic,
I know.
The Man Song.
Only because I can't hear it.
Who's the worst guest we've ever had?
No, you don't want to go there.
Oh, boy. The guy that got up and walked off, probably.
I remember one morning I came in, I wasn't too good before.
That's not true, Josh.
That's a great question.
No, yeah, he's right.
The best guy. Yeah, I'll tell you who was cool. Going back to the movie Hoosiers, Dennis Hopper was super cool, and so was Gene Hackman. But I do remember this. Did you go down to the press conference at the Canterbury?
I didn't.
Because Barbara Hershey was in the film.
And you like her.
Boxcar Bertha?
Yeah, they were.
Yes, she was Boxcar Bertha.
And they literally said before she came out, do not mention that.
Don't mention Boxcar?
No, do not mention the fact that she used to, for a couple of years, she went by the name Barbara Seagull.
Yeah, that's right.
S-E-A-G-U-L-L. Yeah, they were kind of.
You know who was really, her. I've heard, is difficult, and I'm sure he still is, John Mellencamp.
Yep.
He's always been fun, and remember, he even called
great
us.
Great in here.
He was on a string of calling it says his cousin Roscoe for quite a while.
He's got a new gal.
He's extremely funny.
He's a funny guy.
Very funny. He's down Bloomington. Hi, John. I can't hear us, but he's painting.
And to sit 2 feet from him when he was singing Small Town.
Yeah.
Well, he came here.
Almost brought tears to my eyes.
The tears were from the cigarette he handed you.
Yeah, well, that certainly helped.
I think the last time the jerk was, he came in, he's standing right here, and he's talking to Tom, and he looks over and goes, well, hey, chick, I didn't even see you.
I think he had already patted you on the back.
Liar. Of course he did. Yeah, he was just being a jerk. He's fun.
In terms of the nicest, Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
As great of a musician and rock star as he's a really nice guy.
Yes,
considering what he's, he might win the prize. Considering what he's done for how long, he might be the nicest. That formula, you know.
Yeah, again, I'd have to give it a lot of thought, but he is a super nice guy, and he's dealing with a
pretty serious
affliction right now that's affecting his ability to play, or will eventually. So he's. And I don't know what the status of his tour is, obviously.
Well, it was supposed to be in Europe, obviously, and he's going to have to wait on that.
But he's obviously a terrific live performer. You may have heard about that one live thing he did. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Jessica Hooker?
Nope, Altman.
Altman.
Well, you look like Jessica Hooker on the screen. By the way, are you wearing lipstick?
Yeah.
Clearly.
How come you didn't wear that the other day?
She did.
On the TV?
Yes.
You had it on the TV the other day?
Well, no, she wasn't on the TV
the other day.
She was the last one we had without the TV.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, no wonder I didn't see it. What a stupid question.
Remember, you forgot she was on the phone a couple times.
Okay,
you remember?
Sorry.
Yeah,
for about 2 hours. Yeah.
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 Speak up.
Wasted her morning. Allsy.
Right, sorry. Yeah. Plain old me here. No lipstick. That's okay. What do each of you? We get this question a lot. What do each of you have up on your monitors during the show?
Oh. We lost you.
Allsy froze. But I think we could probably answer.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
What do we each have on our monitors during the show?
So yeah, we get this question.
Josh doesn't have a monitor, so he has to watch Pornhub on his iPhone.
I don't watch porn unless we're talking about a particular type of porn. I'll look at it on my phone. I don't want a monitor. I've been offered one. I don't want it because I would get distracted, so I would rather not have it.
I communicate with Dean is over on. I've got three screens in front of me. Dean is over here on the left.
Messaging you.
Yeah,
right.
And then
Tom looks like he's a 911 operator over there with all the.
And then to the right, I have my sound effects library. Give me two numbers between 1 and 8, Josh.
8 and 3.
Okay, we'll go 8 down.
It's between.
And 3. And we get. Oh, boy. Yeah. Bert Kampfert.
This isn't serendipitous.
Talk
I don't
about
know what
a jackpot.
See, that's how I can get those great. Now, if you'd given me 8-4, it would have been. Do the Freddy. So there you go. And then I've got email and the internet on the one in front of me, et cetera, et cetera. That's a good question. Christy, you have.
I usually have up a news source or the Weather Channel. That's it. And then my background picture is a picture of the ocean. That's
well,
it.
Well, depending on the mood.
Maybe Twitter, depending on what's going on.
That's a more interesting question.
What?
What's your wallpaper?
My wallpaper is the picture I took in Florida.
Okay, my wallpaper is a picture I took of Eric Clapton in Madison Square Garden.
What's yours, Chick?
My wallpaper is the tube map in London of the Underground.
But occasionally I'll walk in and you'll have a streaming Redskins game.
Every now and then I'll check out a Redskins game, depending on my mood. I have Twitter. I also have Zappos. Great.
Mine is an autumnal sort of scene.
Let's see.
Why don't you change it for spring?
Why don't you?
Because I like fall. Fall's my favorite.
Really? Why don't you just take some time off?
I don't know why that got so...
The rest of us are in the moment.
But other than that, I like Twitter. I like to have Twitter up to see what's going on.
Yeah, Twitter's great because it's instant and you get all the instant news right away.
And I don't do any of that stuff. My life's too complicated. I can't be paying attention to that all the time.
That's how we find out.
Just got this. Tim Allen was one of the funniest guests we ever had on the show.
Well, he was very funny.
Love the video, signed art. That's interesting.
Michigan. I get it from everybody.
Tim is, of course, from Michigan.
Absolutely.
Art from Michigan.
Okay, that's another good question. Who's on the phone the most during the show?
What does
on
that mean?
On the phone?
Yeah, during. I am virtually never on the phone. If I am, it's a dire emergency
during the
show. Although I'm probably on the phone the most when I'm off the air.
People know not to text while you're on the air.
Chick is probably the one on the phone the most.
But that's not very much.
On air, I will not look at my phone unless I'm going to the internet. But when we're on breaks, I'll occasionally check it.
But I don't call people or anything.
No.
Unless
you Chick will answer no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I'll answer in the middle of a break. Okay. Depending on who's calling. You know that.
Is this spam? It says it is.
Christy will occasionally call her daughters into sick.
I have to call in school. They love that, too, when you're throwing.
When she calls in, we're always shouting stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you're up. Stripper number 6.
Hey, your cam's overflowing here.
Sadly, those days are over.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that ever again. Until next year. For me.
Oh, that's
forever.
Right. Yeah, your senior is.
It's over. No prom,
and
no
by
graduation,
the way,
nothing.
I know everyone said this, but being a senior is such a. I feel so bad for the seniors in high school and.
What a drag.
College.
Yeah, one of my sons is going to graduate this year and they get nothing.
No. Well, Jess Hooker's daughter was an 8th grade dance and all that.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No junior high graduation for her.
So. Yeah.
It's kind of really a bummer.
That doesn't mean.
No good. They'll have to be some kind of virtual prom.
Well, they talked about doing something in the summer, but there are people now questioning whether they'll go to college in the fall. Online.
Gotcha.
And it's like, no, give the kids something to look forward to. At least
for the virtual prom, what you'd want to do is take like a kitchen knife and a tambourine.
Oh, God.
Kitchen knife and a tambourine.
It's a hymen.
It's a hymen.
Hymen joke.
Hymen. Good Lord.
Oh, he's a monster.
because
absolutely,
you know, all kids wait till the prom.
Yeah,
for them to.
Sorry, yeah. Just trying to give the show a little authenticity.
I will never. The next time we do this, what's your most unforgettable moment? It'll be Josh's realization what you said. Good Lord!
I'd like to ask a question. What's the most unusual remote broadcast we did? Because we've done so many.
I can answer that. We went to the strip club that morning. That was pretty severe.
I can't imagine that being very fun.
I don't know why we did that.
And we went to a gun place and we shot AK-47s.
That was cool.
I could see that being kind of cool.
We shot Uzis.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving.
We climbed
out of a sewer on Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that was fun. But we couldn't get the groundhog suit because it had already been rented. So what were you? You were a squirrel.
No, when I climbed out of the sewer, I was wearing my brand new Redskins leather jacket. Oh. You thought that would be funny. And then the next year with Dick Vitale, I came out of a Port-a-John in a beaver outfit.
I think so.
Or a chipmunk. We couldn't find a groundhog.
Then we had the time where we had you at the golf course at the driving range.
Yes, I was driving around on the ball collector. Yes. And
Bob's a good golfer. Bob hit him several times.
Didn't Tony George and or Jimmy Irsay hit me with golf balls?
Yes, it was classic. It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah. See, Josh, you have nothing to worry about.
I can remember.
Took all the hits for you.
We did one. I remember the one that I was the most upset about. We were way in the south side at a grocery store, and we had we had one of the best comedians I've ever seen, Dennis Wolfberg.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
We were sitting in a grocery store at 6 a.m, and it just didn't really help the situation to not be in our studio and. Yeah. But if someone did ask who are the best, funniest people you've ever had on the show, Dennis Wolfberg certainly is one of them. And he's no longer with us, sadly, but Google his stand-up. It's incredible. He was a school teacher and just so funny. I always say that when you talk about standing ovations, I remember my sister was in town from England. We went down to would have been at that time probably called the Indianapolis Comedy Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen a standing ovation. You know, you get the one where everyone kind of grudgingly stands up and
it usually starts with one person or one row.
With Dennis Wolfberg, the entire audience shot out of their seats.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's amazing.
You're just screaming.
When he was a teacher, he had the great joke. One of his kids said, "Hey, Wolfberg." And he said, "That's Mr. Wolfberg." And the kid said, "How am I supposed to know you're married?"
True story, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we remember we did the show from a boat, barge.
That was a bikini contest.
Was that down?
It was
at Morse or Geist?
We did one at Geist, and I remember our guest was Mark Pitta.
God, how do you remember?
Because Mark Pitta had a great set of jokes.
Yeah.
He had a great set of jokes, and the premise was he would do tours. And he would put the names of the bands together so it would be a funny...
Right,
oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes.
Like it would be Jackson Brownsville Station.
Is Mark Pitta still around?
I think he owns a club in San Francisco.
Okay,
Or across the bay.
Oh, man.
Wow. Remember the pregnant bikini contest we did that one morning?
Well,
gosh.
Remember the one bikini contest... Bob and I were asked to MC at a teen club.
Oh, I love this.
Right across the street from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who set it up or what the whole thing was, but it was, whatever. So we get there and we're supposed to be emceeing this thing, and we get out there. We introduce the girls, and this is a teen club.
Yeah.
Mind you, okay, so. And as the girls are introduced, like the fifth one comes out, immediately takes her top off. I look at Bob and I say, "We have to leave."
Yeah.
We were out the back door so fast. I don't know how that happened. That was rough.
We've had some really interesting remotes.
Yeah, we've done lots of them from Florida. We did them from Disney World. We did them from
Bahamas.
Bahamas, of course.
Michigan, remember? We went to Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was a long drive.
I can remember one of the ones I thought was really cool. Remember when we did it when Ball State first started getting really good at basketball again, and we did it from the big auditorium there?
Yeah, we did the college tour.
Ball State.
Yeah, we did all of them, yep.
Yeah, that
and,
was
IUPUI here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
IUPUI, that was the first time Reggie Miller was on.
Yeah.
That was when Bob got up and went to L.A. to see Paul McCartney, wasn't it?
Yep.
Interview Paul McCartney,
yeah,
left from the show.
We were downtown at IUPUI, and it came across the wire that there was going to be this opportunity to do this meet and greet with Paul McCartney, and Bob left from, with no luggage.
Pre-9/11, obviously.
Yeah, got in the plane and left.
Yep.
That was
cool.
Wow. Yeah. Now, which Jessica's turn is it for a question?
I'm up. Let's see. We're going to go to a non-show question. If your house caught fire and you could only save one item, what item would you save? And okay, there's no pets, no people are included in this.
My phone.
Basically, anything you can carry out by yourself.
It's a great question. I think everybody at this point would
have their phone because everything they have is on their phone.
The phone, my computer. There's some very important video I've got on there. Some audio that I don't.
I have a
lose.
Firebox. I would.
This actually happened to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh yeah. I won't say where it was because it was a kind of a famous situation.
But, do the dogs count?
No, she said people.
He he woke up and opened the door to the bedroom and the wall was pink.
Oh my gosh!
And the hallway and the house was on fire.
Oh
and there, in retrospect, it's kind of funny. Nobody got hurt, but
that's hilarious.
In the panic, he got everybody outside. Then he ran back in to get his computer.
Oh. Yeah,
and it was a desktop, and he grabbed it somewhat quickly and tore part of his arm up pretty bad.
Oh.
Then he got in the car and he wanted to get the cars out. Got in the car, backed out, neglected to shut the door of the car, and.
Took it off?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Because you're obviously in panic.
Yeah, sure. Right, right.
So, right.
But that is an interesting question. Don't
go back into a burning house. This is us taught us something.
I have a firebox also.
I have a firebox.
That I can
it's right
carry.
Underneath my bed, yeah.
And then there's another box filled with, I'd probably grab, it has all my dad's old army memorabilia and stuff like that. I probably just grab
it. Do you have
that.
It in a fireproof box?
No, I'm going to. I just recently got it, so I have to.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. If my house caught on fire, it would be the end of the world because my house is all.
Cement.
It was built in 1932 of poured concrete. It's a very odd house, so I'm not sure what would catch on fire.
Is that a good insulator?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It's also Wi-Fi. You have to have a shot down from space room to room. It's the house, the walls are
thick.
If there's ever a tornado, it's the place to be.
So you live in a bunker, basically.
Yes. I don't know. The guy that built it that we think was a contractor that built garages, the older guys in the crew when we redid it said, this looks like all the garages downtown, commercial garages. So that's why the walls are all.
Interesting.
Very weird place. But that's a good question. I don't know. I guess I don't know what I would take. I probably should start thinking this through so if it ever did happen, I could get out quick.
Well, the one thing about this is because of your phone, you have so many pictures and everything there.
Right.
You don't have to grab things off walls or like a photo album or something.
That's true.
I don't know.
Let's say you wanted to answer in the form of a joke, Josh.
Oh.
If your house was on fire, what's the one thing you would take?
A piss on the fire?
I think it was a good joke. I think your delivery lacked a certain confidence. I think you said, what would I take? A piss on the fire. That's the.
I have some body wash I really enjoy. I'm going to take that one.
Okay.
I'd maybe take my signed Benny Hill picture. Yeah. Oh, I'd take the, there are two things. The.
Remember, the thing is you don't have time to think. You've got to get out of the
house.
Right.
Oh, that's true.
So what were you going to say?
There's something that Josh gave me for Christmas was picture, the painted by paint-by-number picture from Goodfellas. And then this past year, he gave me Rochelle movie poster. And it's still sitting in my living room.
All right. Framed?
Yes, it's framed. It's beautiful.
Up on the wall?
No, not up on the wall
yet.
It's
just
sitting there on
the
floor. So it's leaning up against the
wall. Kind of important, but by the fact that it's not up on the wall makes it easier to grab and run out the door with.
That's true.
That's right.
Got that going for you. You can always use that excuse. Good question. What else have we got?
Glad I answered. Okay.
Are there any comedians who make you nervous? For instance, I saw Greg Hahn, and he was amazing, but I was on edge the entire set.
Wow.
What's interesting about Greg?
That's a great question, but
making
not Greg,
nervous.
No. Greg's a, we all know Greg really well.
Yeah.
He is incredibly funny. His act is
a giant brain.
His act is so funny.
Smart guy.
And he's not, and if you have lunch with him,
he's not like that all the time.
He's still Greg, but he's fairly subdued, yeah.
Nobody makes me nervous recently, but Brad Garrett used to make me nervous because I never knew what he was going to say.
I will say this about Brad Garrett. It was hard to be around him for more than about half an hour because he would go into show mode.
He would do Sammy.
You'd walk through the other parts of the building and he would just walk up to random people.
Oh,
I remember going to a show at what was then the Broad Ripple Comedy Club, and Brad never took the stage.
Yep.
He walked around, never had a mic, just walked around the whole time. And
incredible. That's incredible.
It turns out he's also a very fine actor, and he's got great stories, and he's a really good, nice person too. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy he's the kind of guy that if you call and he'll say, "Hey, can you call tomorrow?" I go, "Sure."
I can't answer this question because there are guys that make me nervous for other reasons.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, this
especially
is because,
on the tour. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is because they're interested in your...
They want to rub up on stuff.
There's that.
Yeah.
Polish it.
Yeah.
Fine-tune.
So that makes me nervous a little bit.
A little. Sure. No, bless you, Christy.
Can you write down the names?
No. I'm not going to get
anybody
in trouble.
Anybody make you nervous?
Well, Brad Garrett, but not recently.
Greg Warren.
I
know.
I can't really say who because I don't want to.
I
was kidding.
I'll tell you who made me nervous.
It's my problem.
Was Coach Bob Knight.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys were all nervous.
Yeah.
He's just so intimidating.
Left me in here with
turned
him
out to
myself.
Be. He was always a good guest, but
as long as you talked about fishing or baseball, you were fine.
Yeah, I read that Ted Williams book just so I could talk to him.
He was great. I thought he did well.
Sure. Yeah. No. It's.
Yeah, but he's intimidating.
Yeah.
There have to be a few more. Oh, I know. When Greg Allman came in here.
For you, he was intimidating.
Yeah. Such a big
thing. Just like a homeless person to me.
Me too. Yeah.
Greg Allman and Dickie Betts and Warren Haynes all came in. And I've told this story 100 times. There's two of them that when they first sat down, and Warren Haynes had just joined the Allman Brothers. And we'd been talking for 10 minutes or so. And Dickie Betts signaled me, and I shoved a Sharpie over to him. And he wrote down Warren Haynes and an arrow and shoved it to me so I would ask a question for Warren, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
That he wanted the new guy to get some knowledge. And they were really funny. And that's, of course, back then we were in a different studio, and the men's room was right outside the door. And I remember walking outside. And Greg Allman was standing there, and one of his roadies walked up to him and held his palm out, and there was a mysterious pill on it, which Greg threw in his mouth and swallowed without any water.
Maybe it was heartburn medicine.
It could have been.
That's right. Might have been a Zantac.
Probably Zantac before they pulled it off.
Right. That's exactly. Right. Yeah.
And then we went into the bathroom at the same time, and there was a urinal and a stall, and I went into the stall to pee, and then Greg Allman was at the regular urinal, and Greg talked like this. And he said,
"Sure,
you get up this early every morning." And I said, "Yes." He goes, "Man, this has got to cut into your time to boogie." And never forget that. I should get that as a tattoo.
Oh, I'd love that.
Just put boogie on your arm. That'd be good.
Bougie.
Well, today we learned about John Baldry.
Oh.
Did anybody look up the song?
I thought we were not supposed to do like a regular show.
Yeah, we're not.
No, but I mean, it's a great song. Look up Long John Baldry and the great song about the boogie woogie. It's very good. Okay, more questions. What do you got?
Let's see. What would each of you do if you couldn't do radio? What was or is your plan B?
Well, it's too late to have a plan B now.
My plan B is public assistance and the kindness of strangers.
Exactly.
What my plan B is.
Fair question. Josh,
you can answer that.
I always said that if I couldn't do what I wanted to, I would become an international teacher. I would go teach in Thailand for a year, and then I would go teach in, Venice for a year, and then
teach English.
Yeah, I would teach English all over the world just so I could.
Well, didn't you tell me one time that you wanted to try stand up?
I kind of incorporate stand up with radio now, but
I would have liked being a field reporter for. Like NBC.
Is that right?
On the network level. Yeah, sure.
Back to you, Lester.
Yeah.
You started as a news guy, didn't you?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be a news anchor, but I think I would like being out in the field. And
yeah.
That could be very, very interesting. And there are a lot of people very heroically covering current events right now doing that. I don't know. Christy, what?
I had a lot of different interests. I loved flying. I loved gymnastics. I would probably go to gym or something. I don't know. And I was in television before this, engineering. But I really liked being in front of the camera. If I had started younger, I probably would have pursued a TV sports job.
Hmm.
But I like live events, like live TV sports, not anchor sports. Like, the you know, ESPN or college sideline reporter.
I know
something.
Who made me kind of nervous.
Who?
Dick Vitale.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because Dick was hard to interview because... Well, here.
Well, he didn't shut up.
You'd ask Dick, so, Dick, did you have any trouble getting over here?
And I'll tell you, this guy number two for the Terps.
And then he would just go.
Right.
It was very hard to...
Half hour later.
Yeah, get him to stop. So that you'd kind of lose control.
Chick, what about you?
I don't...
You didn't have a plan B as a kid?
Mm-mm, no.
Really?
I don't. No, I've been doing this since I was 18. So other than the summer jobs I had, I didn't really... Mm-mm.
Okay, we got time for a few more questions. Go ahead. Which Jess is up?
Oh, Alsman, what is the weekly meeting that Chick complains about, and what is discussed during those meetings?
Oh, boy, is it...
The Wednesday meeting.
Here's the thing. if in some far-off fantasy land, this meeting covered things that were important to the show or some sort of information that we could use... To make the show better or easier or like logistical or whatever, that would be fine. But almost always, 9 out of 10 meetings, it will be what the station here is doing and what they're doing and giving away money on the tens. And then Tom starts talking about real estate. And then, am I wrong?
No,
you're not wrong. A lot of times it will... Be well. Here's
digress.
Here's how things went this week, and then Tom will go. Have you picked a school district for your children yet? And so then it's 20 minutes of
every single time.
Yeah,
I think it's being unfair to our two interviewers. Both Jessicas weigh in at those meetings.
Yeah,
various. But there's
you got a bunch of talkers in that thing. Spangle, Grace Yinger.
Well, you know we're
Kessler.
They just love
the. We need to make fill in the blank more personal.
And then we think the conversation's over, and Dean raises his hand. God damn it!
you think you got 1 foot out the door? Wait a minute. Okay.
Well, I think in terms
just me.
In terms of meeting attendance, let's face it, you attend the least.
I have recently made. I've redoubled my efforts. But
when you're there, you walk
well,
in.
Well, see, that's the
you
thing,
kick back
too.
From the table, you slump down.
I'm really bad with body language.
Yes, you make it very clear you don't want to be there.
Yes, that's true, too.
I've tried to cut down the length of them every once in a while.
And a lot of people have made it clear they don't want you there.
Yes!
But you don't pay attention to their body language.
No, I don't pay attention.
A lot of it is logistical. It's, hey, we're going to do a remote from here. What? When are we leaving? What time? What? That kind of stuff.
We only have the one.
Going away,
that's true. Right? We have to do one. Wednesdays.
Meeting? Oh,
one
exactly.
Week.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Now, back in the day, it was sort of a tradition that the meetings would go off the rails and language would be used that wasn't appropriate. And Mr. Wee would have to say, I'd like to say to the ladies here, they don't have to attend this meeting.
Yes.
trying to
then we had the famous deli tray meeting.
The deli tray incident.
There were almost fisticuffs.
Well, they called a meeting one day, and we didn't know what it was about. And we all walked in there, and there was some woman there that was running the meeting, and she talked real quietly like that. And I'm sure it was something she probably had some sales tape that, said, the speak quiet. Softly, it'll force people to listen to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've all been on the radio for dozens of years and can't hear at all anyway. So she's whispering, I'm leaning in, what the hell is she talking about? And so we'd been there, and you know, we'd been in the building since whatever, I think it was when we used to go on at 5, so we'd been in the building since 5 a.m. or more before then even, and it was approaching noon, and this woman's still going on, and we have no idea why she's here, what she's talking about. And then they bring in a deli tray.
Yeah.
And Bob and I both lose our minds. Yeah. I think the F word came out. There was
something was said, and someone
did the meeting
out.
End after you lost your minds?
I don't even know.
In this case,
so
yes.
We didn't want a cold deli lunch
right.
after being in this building for 8 hours. I know, in today's world, that seems like a minor problem. But
Of course, sure.
I was so irritated by that technique. But I can just see, you know, some Zig Ziglar book going, the way to get them to pay attention is to talk so they can't hear you.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the topic.
No, neither.
Well, I might be mixing up my meeting, but there, the gentleman came in who was going to be our program director.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I'm going to get you back on top. And we'd just gotten the best ratings the station
so he was unaware
of that ever had.
Oh, that guy.
And,
are you guys playing cards or what?
Unaware of, yeah. Yeah. He was the one who we went to one of the college tours, and Lafayette. He went up to one of the co-eds and go, what kind of music you like? And she said, well, rock and roll. And he goes, you know, I'm the program director at Q95. I can have him play anything you want.
That is amazing.
It's an amazing line. Sure.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah.
What a well, oh. I don't know the person.
I can tell you where I was on the road. He would do an occasional Saturday shift that I remember. I'll never forget it. There's the Beatles. You know, they're from Liverpool.
He said that.
Incredible.
On the air.
I love this. Is my favorite person to ever be on the radio.
Yeah. Oh,
he was something.
Okay. Which Jessica's up next?
I'm up. And my question is, what guest have you always wanted but have never been able to book? Do each of you guys have a dream guest?
I don't know. Go ahead. Anybody?
Oh, I don't know.
I've always wanted to meet and talk with Dan Aykroyd. Always.
He's one
of my favorites.
We did have Dan on once.
Yeah, I wish I would have been here for
it. I'd love to have him on again.
Man, oh man, there's just so much to talk to him about.
He was just on Maron's podcast.
Authority on blues music. And
Yes, and the supernatural and screenwriting and comedy.
And vodka.
Vodka. Oh. Yeah, he's got a big vodka.
Motorcycles. He's got...
He's
I'd love to have him on again. We haven't had him on.
That would be something I'd want like for 4 hours. And Stephen King. I'd like to talk to Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about recommendations for things to do if you have some downtime right now. And have you listened to the James Taylor book yet? It's James Taylor just came out with a thing called Break Shot.
I'd like to have him on in the studio. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we've had him on a couple times. We've had him on, I think, 3 or 4 times. But this book is it's an audio-only book, and he's telling the story of the first 20 or 21 years of his life. It's great. But we are also talking the other day about Stephen King doesn't have an autobiography per se, but he's got a book called On Writing that more or less tells his story, which is amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Grew up very poor, and he's of course an incredible writer, and writing writing about himself is really interesting.
Yeah.
He would be a great guest. I'd have to get that a lot of thought who we've tried to get too. That we couldn't get. We've had some pretty big guests on here.
Yeah, presidents, some of the most famous musicians in the world, actors. My gosh,
astronauts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do a few more. What else? What else you got?
Jessica Allsman.
Allsy.
Oh, okay. This is for Chick. Did you and Bob really almost get in a fight over Pictionary?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It wasn't me and Bob, but it was at Bob's house. It was me and, what's his name? The guy who did, I forget it. It's,
Greg?
I'm spacing on his name.
His
no.
brother Tom?
He did the, Stop Giving Me Stupid Crap for Christmas, whoever that guy is.
Oh, Bobby Gaylor.
Bobby Gaylor and I almost came to blows over a Pictionary game. Yes.
Wow. Now, were you on the same team or opposing team?
No, we were on the same team, and he would draw something and keep pointing at it, and I would say, Bobby, I don't know what you drew, but he would keep pointing.
Instead of drawing more.
Instead of adding to it.
Yeah.
Or anything other than, anything would have been fine other than pointing at it, you know? Yeah. That happened. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's a writer now for some cartoon, right?
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
Last time I saw him, it was a video for a friend of ours who was having a birthday, and he was sitting on the toilet wishing him a happy birthday.
Oh, okay.
Wow. There you go.
Classy.
That's how I remember that. Yeah, that's Bobby. Bobby Gaylor.
All right, we're going to finish up with this, and we are getting a lot of messages that are similar to this, and there's no question. This is from Kelly on Twitter. Just a great big thank you for being on the air during this crazy time. Your show during the quarantine ranks right up there with the shows following 9/11. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we'll be doing it for quite a while, it would appear.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really is our pleasure.
I think we're very lucky to be able to work And a lot of people who are working in extraordinarily dangerous conditions. This is I think, relatively safe.
Yes, this helps us just as much as it helps
it's anybody. Safe as it gets.
We're safe.
No one except Tom.
Josh bought into my idea of, let me run this by the ladies.
Jess and Jess? Yeah.
Jess and Jess.
So close to getting out of here.
You guys are familiar with the layout of the building here.
This is an incredibly bad idea, and I think it's illegal.
I do, too.
So here's the idea. As you know, when you leave this room and take a right turn, there is a men's room on the right and then a ladies' room.
On the right.
Yeah. However, we have more or less all agreed that anyone can use any room, but we haven't had the signs changed.
Right.
So here's my proposal. I say the second room that is currently the ladies' room, we prop that door open and leave it open. That way no one ever, because the most common way apparently to touch something is when you touch, if you touch a doorknob.
Or a light switch,
people forget, then they touch their face. Yeah. So that's
the most common way to contract it.
Well, it's one, you just, those knob. Are things we touch a lot.
So. I'd like to
jump
in here.
Every time I leave, I do that too.
This is the latest thing Tom has heard.
So here's my idea. Yeah. So the second bathroom would be for men urinating only.
And he'd leave the door propped open.
The door would be propped open.
All the time. Even during urination.
So and then the ladies, anyone who had either a dose event or a lady.
So we have to go in the bathroom where the guys are pooping.
Right. You go in the
Not at the same time.
No, of course not. Just directly after.
Why not? I mean,
but that way you're not going to walk by and be embarrassed because the men can stand.
But we still have to touch a handle.
Look, I can't fix everything, okay?
You know, he has, you guys, on the TVs, he has the door open to the rest of the bar part of the building. He has that door propped open now, too.
So
it's like
touch
the studio door, so we don't have to touch that door now. I'm an open door guy.
I love open doors.
Because he doesn't have to open
the door. Yeah, we don't go in there. We're not allowed.
I don't want to.
Can't you put hand sanitizer right outside you leave the room using the door handle, then you sani again just to double?
Yeah, that's. I've been thinking of getting a couple like little tables and putting them there so you can sanitize. But I just think it'd be because someone's going to forget once, and that's when they give you the cooties.
But we don't have cooties to give.
How do you know?
I think I'd know by now.
No.
I bought Tom a wall hand sanitizer.
It's in my office. I got it out the other day, but it didn't come with the hand sanitizer.
Did you hear what he does now?
It's just the wall unit.
No, it's really nice outside. I'd really like to go out.
After the show, every day he goes home, he gets out of his clothes, he naked, puts everything in the washer, then goes
takes a shower.
Puts a towel on, evidently, and goes to the shower every day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make Donnie do that because he still has to go out and work, and he comes home after seeing people.
He should be doing that.
Make him go and go right to laundry.
You need to watch the movie Silkwood just for the shower scene.
Or you guys should break up. Either way, yeah.
Well, this was fun. We should do this next pandemic.
Well, thanks. It was fun.
Yeah.
Are they going to rerun this, or is this it? Or is this the one live thing?
Who would want to watch this again?
I know. My goodness. Okay, well, thanks very much.
It'll be up on all the social platforms.
Okay, we'll be back coming up Monday.
And don't forget that we are live streaming on YouTube each and every morning, so you can always catch us live on YouTube.
Okay, cool.
Monday through Friday.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Jess and Jess.
Thank you, Jess and Jess.
Bye, Jess.
You're welcome.
See you next week.
Stay healthy.
Yeah.
Wash your hands.
Take a shower.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
This is the show where we bring you in-depth interviews with U.S. soccer stars.
This time,
Sam Coffey.
The World Cup is in 2 years. Is it time yet? Like, can we get back into camp?
Tim Ream.
We're going to continue to show other countries we're not going to be pushed around.
And Jedi Robinson.
Every time you come back and you put the jersey on, it means more and more each time.
So we'll be back here with all the best stories.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.